This is Audible.
Bleak Expectations by Mark Evans. Volume 3, Chapter the First. A Lovely Life Re-Kippered Again Once More.
Are you quite yourself, Sir Philip?
Do I not sound it, Severin?
No, sir. You sound happy.
Yes, for my daughter will shortly arrive with my new grandson, whose existence elicits oohs and ahs, and that happiest of words, ooh, goshy, ah, bliss.
And your son-in-law, Sarquil, is to hear the next part of your life story.
He is the fly in the ointment, the dead rat in the vegetable soup, the pig and shellfish surprise at the kosher buffet.
Mr. Sarquil, sir.
Where is my daughter and grandson?
I hurried ahead of them so I might have a rest.
A rest?
Having a baby is so tiring. All the feeding and crying and vomiting, and then there's the baby to look after.
That is why most children should be like comets, seen very rarely and from a great distance.
Lady Lily and a tiny person, sir.
Dear grandson. What? Boy's a coward.
Oh, no. No, Father, merely hungry. You can tell by the nature of the cry. Also, by the way, he has put on a napkin and is perusing a wine list.
I shall unpack the feeding equipment, dearest.
What is that ridiculous device?
Oh, well, as you know, babies feed from the breast, if you'll excuse the expression. Alas, it is against all laws of decency for a child actually to see a breast, if you'll excuse the expression. Hence this, the telebreastinator.
One end is attached to my milky bosom, the other to the child via a tube.
Then he feeds while Lily sits in a cupboard wearing a sack on her head and reciting passages from the Bible.
Do you have a spare cupboard, Father?
Use the one marked Good French Things. It's completely empty.
Ready?
I shall attach the food mask to the child. Then start the lacto pedal.
Milk away.
And while the child feeds, shall we continue your life story?
We shall. Should the device make that sound?
Oh, merely the normal workings of any telebrestinator.
Very well. My story is one of sorrow, tragedy, and... It should definitely sound like that, should it?
Oh, almost certainly.
Okay. Now, where was I? Okay. Sorrow, tragedy, and... That doesn't sound right to me.
Well, it is. See, the pressure gauge is at red for safe. And the safety whistle is at full volume. And it has exploded. Oh, quite normal.
It's raining milk.
The child's favorite weather.
Your imbecile device has left milk all over my floor.
Well, soon you shall have a delicious cheese carpet.
Leave that infernal machine alone. Just sit still and listen. Last time, you heard how my evil ex-guardian, Mr. Gently Benevolent, returned from the dead, and I, Pip Bin, thwarted his attempts to conquer the world with his Martian army. You also heard how I married Miss Rightly Fecker. She bore me a daughter named Lily. Six more children followed, also named after flowers. Daisy, Violet, Filipendula, Ulmaria. Purple one with white bits whose name we've forgotten. And our two sons, Chris, short for Chrysanthemum, and Brian. Named for the now extinct Brian Plant. My own schooling had been incredibly harsh. And rather than see my children suffer similarly, I purchased a magical wardrobe and shoved them through the back of that instead. They took to it with all the gusto you would expect of bold Victorian children.
Look, a fawn. Kill it.
Hello, I'm Mr. Tumnus.
Thanks to my invention of the bin, I was incredibly rich. And my sole work consisted of keeping an eye on my fortune.
I'm as rich as 16 rich men put together, or 9,005 relatively poor men. Harumble for me.
Meanwhile, my best friend, Harry Biscuit, was still married to my sister Pippa, and still Britain's keenest, yet worst, inventor.
Here, Pipbin, taste this.
Mmm, a sort of minty, grassy flavour.
Yes, it's a new sweet for sheep. I call it the Bar Humbug.
It was the day that Harry and I were setting off to attend London's latest sensation, a séance.
Oh, please, may I come, dear husband?
Séances are too terrifying for women. You may get a startled womb or panicked ovaries.
I heard of a frightful séance where a man's head turned completely inside out and he could see into his own brain.
That sounds brilliant!
I doubt it actually happened. These events are famously fraudulent.
Come now, dear sister-in-law. Let us embroider and discuss morally improving topics such as ivory and eugenics.
Oh. Being a Victorian gentlewoman is so not fun at all.
The séance was run by Britain's shortest yet fattest spiritualist, small, medium, large. We entered a gloomy, strange-smelling room. And immediately, a shudder ran down my spine and into my left trouser leg, where it began tickling me, and not in a good way like a friendly uncle, but in a bad way like a dodgy boarding school geography teacher.
It is cold in here. I've developed goosebumps, chicken lumps, and even a duck wart.
The cold is to induce unease, as is the low, frightening music. And the wolf. Aha! Here comes the fraudulent crone.
All right, me ducks. How is everyone? How are you, sir?
Very well.
No, you're not. You'll be dead in 4 weeks. That's what the spirits say.
How are we to verify the statement? She knows we cannot, but the cheap effect works.
No, shall I contact the dead?
Yes!
Nonsense! This will be a fine show of music hall trickery and charlatanism.
You love in the front row. What's your name?
She's picked the wrong man, for I have the most rational and scientific mind here. My name? Why, it is Harry Biscuit.
I knew that.
Oh, my God! How did she know? Oh, she's magic, I tell you, magic!
Harry, you just told her.
But she already knew! Oh, she is brilliant.
Do you have a relative that may have passed over? Perhaps a mother, brother, father, cousin, second cousin, sister, stepsister, aunt, uncle, godfather, stepmother, half-brother, quarter-sister, pretend cousin, made-up aunt, invented father, grand-cousin, semi-cousin, demi-hemi-cousin, or indeed any friend, acquaintance, or person who you may have seen once on the street?
That is uncanny! Several or more of all or some of those people have died! Oh, you are utterly convincing.
Now, you, sir, what is your name?
No need to tell her, Pipbin. She already knows.
Is it Pipbin?
Incredible! How does she do it?
Do the initials GB mean anything to you?
At this, her tiny face began to twist. The room grew colder, and a slow drip of fear began in my mind, growing into a pool of panic, then a sea of scaredness, and finally an ocean of Oh. For GB meant only one thing to me. My evil, long-dead ex-guardian, Mr. Gently Benevolent. A thin mist emanated from her nostrils, and I knew immediately that the trickery was over as her voice changed to one that was strangely familiar.
Testing, testing, one, two, three. Excellent. Now, tremble, Pipbin, for I, Mr. Gently Benevolent, have taken possession of this body and have returned from the dead. And I am hungry, hungry for life.
Now, fully in control of the tiny medium's body, he dived into the crowd, plunging his teeth into the knees of an audience member.
Ah, my knees!
I watched in horror as he moved amongst them. gorging on knee-blood. With each mouthful, he grew bigger, the possessed body swelling until he could savage first buttocks.
Oh, my buttocks!
Then elbows.
Oh, my elbows!
And finally, throat.
Oh, my throat!
My strength returns. You have destroyed me twice before, Pip-Bin. That is not enough, because we're playing best of five. Now let my vengeance begin.
He came nearer and nearer, blood-stained fangs bared. Yet as he lunged for my neck, I was frozen to the spot like an agoraphobic caribou.
See as I grow massive. Oh, indeed, too massive. This tiny body cannot contain me. No, I cannot be thwarted so close to my revenge. I've drunk too much blood. I should never have had that last pint. Oh, dear, I'm going to burst.
He exploded, showering the room with gore and evil.
Oh, ruddy heck.
Back home, I poured myself a nerve-steadying drink.
Ha! Dear wife, frankly, you have dashed the glass from my hands.
I have.
Please, do not do so. Dear Sister Pippa, you do the same.
I do.
Well, don't. Harry!
Sorry, Pip-Bin. Thought it was a game.
What game?
Smashy, glassy, smash, smash.
You must not be tempted by alcohol, dear husband. It is the evil juice.
The naughty liquid.
The sinful fluid.
The satanic solution.
Beelzebub's bouillabaisse.
What?
Ripley and I have decided that if we are to have no fun, neither shall anyone else.
We have declared war on drink and have joined the temperance movement.
But I have not.
But we have.
Get out, all of you.
They had smashed all the glasses, so I went to drink from the bottle, but still, shaking with fear, I dropped it.
He has joined us in temperance!
No, I haven't.
To prove it, I knelt and licked brandy off the floor. This was a mixed blessing. The brandy made me feel better, but the shards of glass in my tongue made me feel a lot worse.
Did it? Ow!
And having a drink in the coming weeks proved no easier. I padded the floor with rubber.
The tempters tipple!
But they dashed the glasses against the wall, so I purchased drinking vessels made from wood.
Old Nick's naughty punch!
Alas, Pippa set fire to them, and Ripley purchased a steam-powered rotary saw.
Mephistopheles' malicious milk!
Eventually, Harry and I were forced into drastic action. So, one evening, we left our gentleman's house and went in search of a good, old-fashioned, working-class pub. Alas, the temperance movement had been too successful, and most of the inns we tried were now alcohol-free.
Well, we have tried the sober dog and Mines and Orange Juice duck, and the Killjoy and horses with no luck.
Ooh, what about the three no booze here, you wretched sinner, have some water or do a prayer, horseshoes?
Indeed. The only proper pub we found was in the East End, the Jellied Eel and Murderer. Where we sat with rough folk on a rough bench and drank roughly 4 pints of rough ale. Then, as we wobbled out, something strange yet flattering happened.
Oi, mister, can I have your autograph?
You may, young urchin. What is your name?
Charlie Scam.
There we go, to Charlie. Best wishes, Pip Bin.
Cheers, sucker!
Oh, dear, my hands are all mucky with working classlessness. I should wipe them. That pigeon has stolen my handkerchief. Maybe my ears are just drunk, but it sounded like Mr. Benevolent.
Of course, because Mr. Benevolent was evil, and so are pigeons.
Harry's explanation made perfect 4 pints sense, and we returned home.
Dear husband, you smell of the Prince of Darkness's aftershave.
What?
Beer.
Oh, well, yes, I dashed a glass of beer from a man's hand, lest he drink it. Alas, it spilled over me.
Oh, a noble act.
And, dear husband Harry, you smell similar.
Yes, what he said.
Dear Pip, there is a policeman here to see you.
A policeman? Why?
I'm Inspector Whackwallop of Scotland Yard. May I ask your whereabouts this evening, sir?
Oh, Harry and I went for a walk.
Yes, we've been for a walk, not a drink.
4 delicious pints of wark.
Did this wark pass through the East End?
Oh, you will not find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
It is full of drink. The River Fleet is practically made of gin.
I only ask because a body was found there this evening.
Is that so unusual, Inspector?
Not really. They really rack 'em up there. The victim had hundreds of tiny wounds and was clutching your handkerchief.
That is easily explained. A pigeon stole it and must have dropped it there coincidentally. Now, Inspector, you say the body had hundreds of tiny wounds.
Aha! I never said it had hundreds of tiny wounds.
Actually, you did.
Did I?
Yes.
Damn. That normally works. Aha! But I never said he was an apprentice blacksmith.
And nor did I.
Didn't you?
No.
He didn't.
Damn again. Nevertheless, you must be the prime suspect.
No, Inspector, I will not have that. For Pip Bin could never kill anyone. Never.
Although, now I come to think about it, there was the Hardfasher family. He did kill them and their cousins, the Sternbeaters, and he killed Mr. Benevolent twice, though they all definitely deserved it.
Hmm.
I wish to change my statement. Pip Bin could kill another human being, given the correct moral circumstances and provocation, and in fact has done so quite often considering. Though, this murder, probably not.
I'll be keeping an eye on you, Mr. Bin. A beady eye, a suspicious eye, an interested eye.
Wow, he's got 3 eyes.
I'll be back, Mr. Bin.
That night, I was working late in my study.
How about a rubbish receptacle to be used with the newly invented bicycle? I shall call it the pedal bin. Who is tapping at my window? Why, it is that thieving pigeon. I shall shoo him away. Go away.
No.
You are a pigeon, yet you speak. And with the voice of...
Yes, it is me, Mr. Gently Benevolent.
How can this be?
When the puny frame of that medium burst, my soul began to dissipate. Luckily, before it did, I was eaten by this pigeon. They'll eat anything. Actually, that's one of the drawbacks. I may control it, but there are atavistic urges I cannot eliminate. I've eaten things you wouldn't believe. Dead dog, my own foot, pasta that was far too al dente. But I digest. I digress. Did you enjoy the visit from the policeman?
Of course. You planted my handkerchief on the body and the hundreds of tiny stab wounds.
Yes, pecked to death.
You pigeony fiend.
Not a pigeon much longer. With each victim's blood, I grow stronger and more human.
There are more victims?
There will be. Yet you will take the blame. My vengeance will be long and slow, stretching out like an evil rubber band or a vile string of melted cheese. But soon it will snap back, flicking your face with the overtwanged elastic of death, or ruining your shirt with a too stretchified mozzarella of revenge. And then I shall cast my shadow over the land, bringing fear and dread and... Oh, mustache, I can see some dried sick on the pavement. Curse these residual pigeon appetites.
He turned to fly away, but suddenly grabbed the cushion from my chair. It was not until the next day I realized the consequences of his cushion larceny.
Good morning, Mr. Bin. You probably know already, but 5 more bodies turned up overnight.
5?
Aha! I never said they were an actuary, a milliner, 2 elbow greasers, and a bespoke kitten sculptor.
And nor did I.
Always worth a try. Anyway, I found this nearby. To Charlie, I done the murders, I definitely done them. Best wishes, Pip Bin.
That is the autograph I signed for the urchin, with extra words put in by a different hand. My grammar is far more better than that.
Then I shall go, although one last thing. Could you sit on this, please, sir?
What is that?
A new type of cushion.
Oh, excellent. Mine was stolen last night.
Comfortable?
Very.
Aha! Condemned by your own buttocks.
What?
Are you familiar with the new forensic science of bottom prints? Last night we left sofas, chairs and beanbags around the East End, hoping the murderer might need a sit down. He did. And we took a cast of his bottom print. The very bottom print in which you now sit comfortably. No man can rest easy in another man's bottom dimple. That is a true fact of Victorian science.
I have been framed.
By whom?
Mr. Gently Benevolent.
That would be the late Mr. Gently Benevolent, dead these past years.
But he is dead no more. He has returned by possessing a pigeon.
Possessing a pigeon? If I had a shilling for every time I'd heard that, I'd have 2 shillings. Possessing a pigeon, indeed. 3 shillings now. How do you explain this?
What is that?
Your diary, Mr. Bin.
But, Inspector, my diary is here on my desk. Oh, no, it is not. Where it sat there is just a pile of evil bird droppings. Curse you, Mr. Benevo Pigeon.
Yesterday's entry says, do a murder. Today's, do more murders.
That is not my handwriting. In fact, it is not handwriting at all. It is beak writing. Bird has held a pen in its beak, specifically a pigeon.
4 shillings.
It must be a pigeon. It says coo every now and then.
Mr. Pipin, I am arresting you for...
No, wait, look. In the diary for tonight, it says, do another murder. Coo, coo.
So?
So, Inspector, if I come with you to the East End tonight and you see me doing a murder, I will let you hang me on the spot.
That does sound fun.
The inspector left, and Harry and I immediately made preparations for that night.
I have invented a devicelment to aid us. Behold my anti-murder box. I shall distribute them to people, and if they feel they are about to be murdered, they press this button and...
Help, help! I am being murdered. Mind the gap.
It is an adaptation of a device I am making for the new Metropolitan Railway.
It shall be of great use, Harry.
And I have just thought, the East End is full of pubs. I can have a proper drink again. Harumble for beer!
Though our main purpose is to capture a murderer.
Whatever!
As we set off that night, I had trepidation in my heart, a sick feeling in my stomach, and a distinctly jittery kidney.
A good night to go murdering, eh, Mr. Bin? See how the mist closes in.
Indeed, mist and fog filled the streets. Nowadays, we would call it a pea super. But back then, we knew it as our gravy.
I'm going to go and check that pub out, see if there's a murderer in there.
No, Harry, we should stay together.
Good idea, Pipin. You pair up with Inspector Whackwallop, and I'll pair up with my old friends, Superintendent Pint of Beer and Constable Crisps.
We're alone, but don't think you can slip away from me in this air gravy and murder someone, Mr. Bin. Look up at that lamppost.
There's a man in a box with an easel.
He does a painting of the whole street every 3 days. Now, let us patrol. Up ahead is one of my best men, a constable tragic victim.
Wait, Inspector. Do you hear that?
What?
Evil pigeon wings.
Who goes there?
Your own personal doom.
Oh, must use my special box.
Help, help. I am being murdered. Stand clear of the doors.
By the time we arrived, the constable was dead.
Murdered!
Then do you accept it could not have been me?
Ish!
Let us catch Mr. Benevo Pigeon, and I shall be proved innocent.
We pursued him through the East End until finally he made a mistake as we emerged into an air gravy-filled square from which there was no other exit. I looked about and could see nothing through the swirling, meaty mist.
Come, Mr. Benevolent. Reveal yourself.
Oh, very well.
Not like that. Oh.
Sorry.
He stood before us, a mixture of pigeon and man.
Yes, it is I, Mr. Gently Benevolent.
He stood the height of a man and had the features of a man, yet still possessed wings and a beak.
By supping the blood of my victims, I have nearly regained my former form.
Well, now you are trapped.
Perhaps. But what if I had a bargaining chip? And a sachet of bargaining ketchup.
He dragged forward 2 people I recognized all too well.
Dear wife and sister, how did this happen?
We were marching against drink in the East End, and it was going really, really well.
And then we saw this man pigeon and thought we could adopt him and feel morally superior about it.
But alas, it was Mr. Benevolent, and now we are captive.
Are you all right?
Yes, though notwithstanding our recent stance on the issue, I could really do with a drink.
Me too.
Silence! I am nearly a whole man again. I need the blood of but one more victim. And that victim has kindly come to me.
Inspector, there are 2 of us. We can defeat him.
Wrong! There are 3 of us! I shall save you, Pipin! Now let us defeat him, and then we can go for a curry!
Harry, you are drunk!
No, I am not drunk. I am just drunk. Now, let good triumph, let evil be thwarted, let chickens have library cards, and let me have a small nap.
Great. There are still 2 of us, Inspector.
Maybe, but why should I help you?
For the sake of justice.
Where was justice when you slaughtered my cousins?
Your cousins?
The Heart Thrashers and the Stern Beaters.
Botheringtons.
I adore them, so don't expect any help from me, you cousinicidal maniac.
But can I count on your help?
My cousins loved you. And if they loved you, then so do I. It's a sort of family tradition, like licking horses and punching Auntie Enid.
Excellent. Now I need but one more victim to become wholly human again.
He advanced on us, weird, half-mouth, half-beak, open, pigeon-teeth, bad. The newly traitorous Whack Wallop held me tight.
Yes, good, Inspector.
He leaned close. I smelt the stench of blood, death. Yet I did not flinch. I looked him in the eye and prepared to go to that country from which no man returns. By which I mean death, and not somewhere like Denmark, which is apparently lovely.
Goodbye.
Oh, you missed him, Benevolent. You have bitten me by mistake.
Oh, there is no mistake. To become human again, to defeat death, I do not need the blood of my greatest enemy. I need the blood of someone who truly loves me.
Actually, I've gone right off you.
Too late. I feel the strength of your love coursing through me. It tickles. Stop it.
As I watched, Benevolent's pigeony face changed until it was fully human. Now only his pigeon wings remain.
I must hurry before these two disappear.
Let the others go. Take me.
That is my plan.
Oh.
For my hatred has matured in me like sadistic wine or vicious brandy.
I fear you not, Mr. Benevolent.
Oh, you will, Pippin, you will.
He grabbed me, and with a mighty flapping of his pigeon wings, we rose into the night sky. Pippa and Ripley watched, unable to help.
Help!
We are unable to!
Harry lay dreaming.
No, I will not take a crate of rubber chickens to Portugal for you, Lord Liverpool!
And we rose higher and higher, and despite my earlier protestations, I was afraid. And I knew that nothing would ever be the same again.
Blimey, O'Reilly, and crikey, O'Mikey. Mr. Benevolent back, and you kidnapped. How exciting.
I assure you, it was not exciting at the time.
What happened? Did he fly over a hunting party, get shot down, and made into a delicious, if evil, pigeon pie?
No. What he did to me is hard to talk of even now. But return next week, and you shall hear how he reduced me to a mere shell of a man. How he shredded my self-respect like so much cabbage for an emotional coleslaw. And how my life became so horrendous that by comparison death would have seemed like a lovely day at the beach.
Bleak Expectations was written by Mark Evans and starred Richard Johnson as Sir Philip Bin, Tom Allen as Young Pip, Anthony Head as Mr. Malevolent, James Barkman as Harry Biscuit, Jeffrey Whitehead as Inspector Whackwallop, Sarah Hadland as Whiteby and Lily, Susie Kane as Pippa, and Mark Evans as Sundry Gentleman and Police Constables. The producer was Gareth Edwards. Bleak Expectations by Mark Evans, Volume 3, Chapter the 2nd, A Now Grim Life, Yet More Grimified.
Damnification and blastlement! My daughter and son-in-law are late, and I want to see my grandson.
You are fond of the child, sir?
I love him more than I love brandy or beef or punching a Frenchman.
I believe I hear them, sir.
You are late. And where is my grandson?
Father, please, quiet. He is asleep downstairs.
I am very disappointed.
Aïe! Oh, pas encore.
Well, that's slightly better. Should someone check on the child?
No need. No, we have a splendid device to do that. Behold our new baby alarma.
That is a piece of string.
This string is attached to a wooden dowel in the baby's room. One tug and the dowel comes out, freeing a wheel to move a mechanical arm which nudges a marble down a chute. That triggers a spring which releases a mouse who will run excitedly towards some cheese, pushing it down a hole and dropping it into a seesaw, thereby launching a lead weight into a jar of water which will shatter and splash all over a cat which, being startled, will screech loudly. The baby will be thoroughly alarmed, starts to cry, and therefore we will know he's all right. All perfectly simple.
Shall we check on him now, dearest?
A gentle tug and... Shall we continue your story?
What? I can't hear you over the sound of my apparently happy grandson.
I shall go and soothe him. I have shut him in a cupboard so he may learn self-reliance.
Excellent. Then we shall continue. Last time, you heard how my evil ex-guardian, Mr. Gently Benevolent, returned from the dead for the second time and attempted to frame me for murder. Failing in that scheme, he then kidnapped me and took me to an unknown location where I now sat bound in a darkened and sinister room.
So, Pip-Bin, you're at my mercy. And alas for you, I have no mercy.
What do you intend to do?
I have drawn up an agenda for our time together. Let me read it to you. One, pain. Two, more pain. Three, quite a lot of suffering. Four, coffee and biscuits. Five, pain again. Six, agony. And finally, seven, any other pain.
You're a monster, albeit an organized one.
His torturing started in a low-key way.
The salmon is a little overdone.
Have some wine with it.
But this is red wine. With fish. You fiend.
But it soon became crueler. He did unspeakable things to me with a range of instruments. He hit me in the face with a violin, pushed a clarinet further up my nose than he should have, and made me wear two tubas as earrings. The only comfort I had was the knowledge that my best friend Harry, wife Ripley, and sister Pippa would be striving valiantly to save me.
We haven't a second to lose. These crumpets are very nearly burnt.
Speak of crumpets when Pip is held captive by Mr. Benevolent.
Yes, I'd forgotten. You are right, Pippa. I must start work on a Pip-Bin rescuing device. Immediately. Now. Instantly. First thing tomorrow.
Alas, my poor husband is probably dead already. I am almost certainly a widow now. A young, comely widow. Is it too early to go to parties and flirt with other men?
Yes!
You are right, dear sister-in-law. I must grieve for him first. I shall commission a memorial to dear, almost certainly dead, Pip.
Meanwhile, I was still in Mr. Benevolent's evil and hideous clutches.
Do you take milk?
Please.
And have a biscuit.
That's very kind of you.
Right, coffee break over. What's next? Ah, yes, more pain.
His torments became crueler yet. He gave me the latest best-selling novels, but then ruined the endings.
By the way, the first Mrs. Rochester lives in the attic.
I was enjoying that!
He rubbed my face with herring and got cats to lick it off with their weird rough tongues.
Ow! Why can't you have normal tongues like dogs or humans?
I could only bear the agony because I knew my family's love would save me.
I have designed my memorial, a 1,000-foot statue of dear, pretty definitely late Pip. In the chest shall be a concert hall. People will ascend the trouser staircase and listen to the Pip-Bin Memorial Orchestra, then stroll through the lush, fertile gardens of his loins.
And I have drawn up plans for my Pip-Bin rescuing machine. Look, that is me on the left using my Pip-Bin rescuing device to rescue Pip-Bin, who is on the right.
And the blank bit in the middle with the huge question mark is your device?
Yes, touch of the old inventor's block.
Why are you two wasting time on pointless machines and memorials?
Overseeing the statue helps me grieve. It will be soothing to watch the men at work. Stripped, almost bare. Oh, how I miss Pip.
We all do. But at least I am doing something to find him.
What, exactly?
I spend hours each day in the house crematorium weeping for his return.
As for me, Mr. Benevolent had saved his vilest torture implements for last. Wheels of cheddar, wedges of brie, and truckles of Stilton. Fear ran through me. I was going to be cheese-boarded.
Now, let us start with this camembert.
But it is not yet runny, you monster.
He began his evil work, force-feeding me cheese hour after hour, and not a glass of port in sight.
No man can bear this much cheese by itself. I must have a cracker. Maybe some chutney.
Eventually, the inevitable cheese hallucinations began. As before my cheese-scrambled mind came a vision of my own dear sister.
Poor Pip. I miss him so. Why, I can almost see him in my mind's eye.
Pippa, dear sister Pippa, it is as if I can see you.
He speaks. My hallucination speaks.
She speaks. My hallucination speaks.
And it is as if I can smell him. And he smells really, really cheesy. Oh, I can bear this vision no longer. I must flee the Quietorium.
No! Curse these hallucinations of illusory hope.
Until finally, Mr. Benevolent had finished his evil tormenting.
Well, I think we've worked our way through the agenda. Oh, did I staple gun your nostrils together yet?
Yes.
Did I flick you with a wet towel?
No.
Yes, ow!
Right, just one more item. Kill Pip Bin. That shouldn't take long.
He pulled out a flintlock pistol and aimed it at my head.
Goodbye, Pip Bin.
In my despair, I had another cruel hallucination.
Oops, sorry, wrong room. Oh, hello, Pip. I didn't know you were in here being shot by Mr. Benevolent. I'll go.
Hang on.
This is probably a silly question, but do you need rescuing?
Yes.
Wait there, Pip-Bin. I'll just go and get my Pip-Bin rescuing device.
That fool. By the time he's fetched his device, you'll be long dead, and my plan for world domination...
Got it! Oh, no, sorry, I've forgotten a bit.
By the time he's fetched his missing bit, you'll be long dead, and my plan...
Got it! Now, just to set it up...
By the time he's set it up, you...
Finished! Now, all I have to do is wait for the vernal equinox. Oh, well, that's not supposed to happen.
Curse it! Your falling device has knocked the pistol from my hand.
Oh,
I must flee. But I shall return. New plan, more evil, blah-de-blah. You know the form by now.
He turned and plunged out of the window.
Didn't hurt.
And Harry stood triumphant.
I have won! Well, that was surprisingly easy. I must admit it's a bit of a relief, because the vernal equinox isn't for ages.
Harry, dear friend, you have rescued me and can take me home.
Take you home? Yes?
My mind was in such a cheese fuzz that it seemed only seconds before I was back in my very own bedroom and laid to rest. In a good way and not in a dead way.
Oh, joy! My memorial shall be a living memorial.
Memorial?
It is nearly finished. By the strong, sinewy, sweating foundry workers. Oh, 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 how mainly glad I am to see you alive.
Mr. Benevolent's cruelty had left me scarred. I had Stilton burns and a nasty cheddar graze. But the mental scars were worse. Cheese fear was driving me out of my wits.
The cheddar! The cheddar!
Luckily, help soon arrived.
Yes?
Good morning. I am an itinerant mind straightener. Anti-loon doc or dementalizer?
A psychiatrist.
Oh, that's a much better word for it. Do you have any bent minds, loons, or mentalists in need of treatment?
Why, yes, for my own mind is bent into a loony mental shape.
Then let me help you. My name is Dr. Caduceus Whackwallop.
But that makes you a cousin to the Heartthrashers and Stonebeaters, and therefore a natural ally of Mr. Benevolence.
Gently who?
Most reassuring. But can you treat me? Can you cure me?
I will treat you more than an indulgent grandmother and cure you better than a yummy ham. First, I must ascertain your exact mental state.
Cheese-based terrors left me constantly on edge. Any loud noise startles me.
Like this one?
Ah, yes!
My apologies.
Boo!
Bah!
You're in a state which my mind-straightening German colleagues would call Spretel meiner Herzikoff Alice Luisa Bundigen, which loosely translates as sad.
Such economy of language, the Germans.
So long as you avoid all contact with cheese, I believe I can help you. But first, you must sign this consent form.
Of course. But this is not a form. It is an A4-sized slice of Emmental. Ah!
And I've made my lunchtime sandwich with paper rather than cheese. What an amusing mix-up.
It was not an auspicious start, but a visit to see my living memorial cheered me.
Is it not a handsome statue? A supple yet strong one, with needs and desires and passions.
It is, though I do not recall ever being a cavalry officer.
You were not here, dear husband, and I needed a model.
Of course. Now I must go home to rest.
And I must continue polishing the gigantic buttocks and loins of the statue. Oh, how shiny it shall be.
Her evident joy in it warmed my heart, and the next day, Dr. Whackwallop returned.
Mr. Bin, I brought you a gift.
Oh, it is some milk. How kind. No! This milk is off! So off it has become. Cheese! Ah!
Tell me why cheese upsets you so.
The memory is too painful.
Then let me use a technique some people call mesmerism or hypnotism, but which I call swirly-eye-mindy-mendism. Look closely at this watch on a chain as I swing it.
Ow! Why did you hit me on the head with the watch? And again!
He hit me repeatedly and rhythmically over the head with the watch, and I drifted into a dazed trance.
My head hurts.
What do you remember?
Torture, most vile. Mr. Benevolent, leering, looming, laughing. Ah, I can hear him now.
But he is not here.
And now I see him. He is here, I tell you.
A repressed traumatic image. There is no one here. I shall wave my hand vigorously through the air to prove it.
Ow!
My eye. Sorry. Now, tell me about the room you were held in.
I described it, and to my surprise, he led me down the corridor and into a room that was horribly familiar.
This is the room. But how did you recreate it so... precisely.
I did not, for this is where you were held, your house cryatorium. I do hope the shock isn't too overwhelming.
I did not recognize it, for as a man I have never been inside, but to have been imprisoned in my own home, I fear my mind will break.
And we'll leave it there for today.
The revelation shattered me. I stung more than a sunburned man who has fallen into a bed of nettles and then tried to ease the pain with wasps.
How did you not realize I was in the cryatorium?
With hindsight, perhaps we should have. What with hearing you shouting, ow, ow, stop torturing me, Mr. Benevolent, someone please rescue me all the time.
Alas, dear husband, I could not hear you, for I was in the foundry supervising your memorial.
Dear brother, I wept for you.
Perhaps if you'd looked for me in the room where you were weeping. Because it turns out that's where I was.
These past months have been so hard for us.
Hard for you? Right. Because it was so easy for me.
Phew. I'm glad about that.
No, it was not easy. Not. I was tortured. Now get out.
Very well.
But I'm your best friend, Pip-Bin.
No, I need a new best friend, for this one is broken.
I felt hurt, angry, and betrayed. That night my dreams were worse than ever.
So now you know.
Mr. Benevolent, are you real this time?
More real than the love your family showed you.
You are right, even though you are an evil hallucination.
Who can you trust?
No one.
Who can you love?
Oh, I know this one. Is it no one again?
My anger and madness increased when I made certain financial discoveries.
Ripley, Your memorial has cost an enormous sum of money.
Well, can you put a price on such a gift, dear husband?
Yes. Harry, your rescuing device cost twice as much, and it never even worked.
Just wait till the vernal equinox.
I have not wasted your money.
Then what about this enormous invoice for tissues and a tear mop?
It is only money.
Only my money. And it did not betray me or leave me in Mr. Benevolent's clutches. I know now that cold, hard cash is better than warm, soft people.
I instantly became a reclusive miser and retreated to my bedroom where I lay surrounded by piles of cash. I was insane, and not in a slightly over-eccentric, actually a bit of a laugh way like an uncle who collects potatoes, but cruelly, bitterly insane, like an old woman who boils cats. And I remained in that state until Harvest Festival Eve, a traditional time of feasting, frolics, and fun. But not for me. I lay in bed cuddling a teddy bear I'd made out of banknotes, hating the happiness around me. I finally fell asleep, but was awoken by a terrible sound. It sounded like chains being dragged across the floor. The sound came closer and closer until it stopped outside my room. The door began to open, and my fear grew great indeed.
Hello. I've brought these heavy chains to secure your door. I thought if I helped you keep your money safe, you might stop hating me.
Do not worry, Harry. I shall not stop hating you.
Well, there are the chains anyway. I'll leave them at the foot of the bed.
He left, looking like that most miserable of fish, the Saddock. I fell asleep again, but once more was awoken by a strange sound.
That sound? Is it rustling wheat?
I am the ghost of Harvest Festival Past.
Come closer, spirit, that I may see your face.
Very well.
Left those sodding chains. Where was I?
I looked at the dread spirit. His trousers were sheaves of wheat, and he had a jacket of sliced tomatoes. On his head was a hat made of tins of soup, and he had ears of corn.
I come to impart moral lessons via means of visions and possibly some shouting. Right, let's get going. Behold the past!
He waved his arms wildly, sending slices of tomato flying. And suddenly, my room was full of mist. As it cleared, a bright light shone behind me, casting strange images onto the wall.
Behold, Harvest Festival some years ago.
Is that your vision? Shadow puppets.
Past is a shadowy place, and we are mere puppets of fate.
Tenuous.
See, are the shadows not happy?
They look like two slightly rubbish rabbits.
Then listen.
Oh, happy Harvest Festival, Pip-Bin, and to you, Harry Biscuit.
That's just you doing the voices.
Question not the visions.
But I am. I'm questioning the visions.
Look, it's just establishing that last Harvest Festival, you had a family and were happy, all right? Now, behold Harvest Festival present.
Again he waved his arms, and mist and flying tomatoes filled the room. There was a sound of floorboards being ripped up. And when the mist cleared, I saw...
Why, a vision of my family in the dining room beneath this room.
I wish my beloved husband would return to me.
This is the worst Harvest Festival ever. All this food, and I have no appetite.
Nor do I.
Me neither, though I might have some of that cake.
Poor Pip. He is so sad now.
So wretched.
So delicious. Sorry, I'm talking about the cake.
They weep for me, but why? I'm happy with my money. I need them not.
Really? Yet you yourself weep.
It's hay fever from all the hay you're wearing.
Sorry.
Honestly, on with your visions, dread spirit.
Actually, there will now be a short interval between visions. Would you like an ice cream?
Yes, please. Hold on, there is no spoon.
It's in the lid.
What's that noise?
It is the visions being prepared.
Would you please take your seats, as tonight's visions will recommence in 1 minute.
The mist cleared again, and I beheld a man and a woman in a room with a table and solitary chair.
Behold, Harvest Festival Present, Part 2. I love this bit.
Such a shame we've only the one chair for our Harvest Festival feast.
Because of that cruel Mr. Bin, we've had to marry off all our chairs.
Who are these people?
They are humble workers in your bin factory.
I hear the children.
The door to their hovel opened, and the tallest, widest, largest child I had ever seen entered.
Massive Tim.
Hurry, mother.
Father.
Where is your crutch, Tim?
It broke when I leaned on it.
These accents. Would a northern father and cockney mother marry and then have a Scottish son?
Do not doubt the visions.
Hello, beloved parents.
Oh, my new Michael, my little pride and joy.
And this one's Irish.
Silence.
As you cough, Michael. Fine. Almost certainly not deadly.
Let us feast. I shall sit first. Now come, Mother, sit on me.
And Michael, sit on me.
And Tim, on me.
And that's our last chair broken.
Never mind, Father, for we have each other and shall do forever. God bless us, everyone.
Apart from Pip Bin.
Oh, yeah.
Your visions cannot harm me, dread spirit.
Behold, Harvest Festival yet to come.
Oh, Harvest Festival's not the same without Michael, is it?
What happened to minute Michael? Is he dead? He cannot be.
He'd still be here if it wasn't for Pip Bin.
Yes, because of him we've had to eat our youngest son.
No, this cannot be.
But there is more.
Once more, there was mist and then a terrible scraping sound, as if a large stone was being dragged across the floor. The mist cleared, and I saw a large stone.
It is my gravestone.
Read the inscription.
Here lies Pip Bin, who died ironically consumed by greed, because he was rich but avaricious. And that avarice killed people and ruined lives, and he was selfish and awful and smelt weird, dressed badly, had hideous breath, touched dogs in odd ways. He was basically yucky and Just gets abusive at the end.
That is your fate, Pip Bin.
No. What must I do? Oh, spirit, how can I redeem my eternal soul?
A check will do.
What?
You're rich, that's the problem. Give it away and you'll be fine.
A check to whom?
We spirits run a charity called the General Business Charity.
I shall make out a check immediately for everything I owe. A small price for my soul.
To save time, you can just put the initials with big gaps between them.
Very well. Pay GB everything and just sign it.
My hand hovered over the check. With a few strokes of the pen, my humanity would be restored. But suddenly...
No, Pip Bin! Do not sign that check!
But the spirit commands it!
That is no spirit!
Harry advanced on the dread Harvest Festival-y figure...
Ha-ha!
...and pulled on his broccoli beard. It came away, revealing...
Mr. Gently Benevolent!
Curses, I am rumbled!
Then the visions were not real!
Merely second-rate actors.
Charming!
I knew the accents were too widely dispersed to be plausible.
I told you we needed to workshop it more, Benevolent.
Dr. Whackwallop, these visions were all about my money.
I need money for my evil schemes. Alas, I'm finding it very hard to get a job. But I've been dead for so long that there is a massive gap on my CV. This entire scheme was designed to persuade you to give me your money. The torture, your fake rescue by that idiot Harry Biscuit.
You let me rescue him on purpose.
Harry suddenly lunged at Mr. Benevolent, ripped his soup tin hat from his head and started hurling the tins at him and Dr. Whackwallop. They retreated under the soup assault and suddenly...
No! A cock-a-leaky in the head! No!
They plunged through a hole in the floor leading directly to my dining room beneath.
Of course, the vision of my dining room was actually my dining room.
When I saw the hole, I immediately hastened to rescue you, pausing only to finish some cake and a whole trifle.
I must lick my wounds.
Oxtail, tasty.
Alas, benevolent, I've been cream of tomatoed and mulligatawnied even unto death. Oh, dear, here comes my dying broth.
Oh, well, another evil accomplice dead. Nevertheless, I shall return, Pip-Bin, and my next scheme will be way more evil and successful, and much less dependent on complex psychology and visual effects.
And now I must thank you for saving me, dear Harry.
Dear? That is a word you have not used towards me in a long time, Pip-Bin.
Dear husband Pip, you are unmental once more.
I am as sane as a salamander, dear Ripley.
That most rational of amphibians.
Do you still love money?
No, dear sister, for I have realized that money is the root of much evil, and I fear that as a rich man I have abused and exploited the poor.
Indeed, though Mr. Benevolent's plan had been evil, it had raised valid moral questions. And I feared that if I did not start using my money for good, my immortal soul would be forfeit.
And did you use your money for good? Did you build huge houses for the poor out of coins? Did you cure all known disease with a magic shilling?
If only it had been that simple. Mr. Benevolent had not finished with me. If you return next week, you will hear how my attempts to use my money for good were nearly foiled, and how the whole of London itself was threatened by his most evil scheme yet.
Bleak Expectations was written by Mark Evans and starred Richard Johnson as Philip Bin, Tom Allen as Young Pip, Anthony Head as Mr. Gently Benevolent, James Barkman as Harry Biscuit, Geoffrey Whitehead as Dr. Whackwallop, Sarah Hadland as Ripley and Lily, Susie Kane as Pippa, and Mark Evans as Sundry Silent Bystanders and Massive Tim. The producer was Gareth Edwards. Bleak Expectations by Mark Evans. Volume 3, Chapter the 3rd. A Sort of Fine Life De-Niced Completely.
Hellfire, heaven flames, and a massive purgatory barbecue. My beloved daughter and grandson are late.
And your son-in-law, sir?
He can be as late as he likes, but the thought of my grandson's arrival makes me want to dance and skip like a little girl. Alas, I do not have the energy of a little girl.
Yet you do have the pigtails and pretty dress, sir. Your family, sir.
Forgive our lateness, Father. Lovely dress, by the way.
And the pigtails are most distinctive, though they are more usually worn on the head.
Damn it. If pigs wear them on the bottom, so shall I. Why are you late?
We let the child practice his crawling all the way here.
But the London streets are covered in horse droppings, spilled gin and cockney vomit.
As are his hands now. We shall soothe him with his new Jack in the box.
All right, geezer, I'm Jack.
It's a small working class man in a box. We have trained him to calm the boy by feeding him baby brandy.
An infant pipe.
And an opium rusk.
See, he is happy now.
Look at his tiny dilated pupils.
Sweet. Now, let us continue my story. Last time, you heard how my evil, undead ex-guardian, Mr. Benevolent, nearly conned me with a series of fake hauntings. He had failed, but his naughty machinations had revealed a hollowness in my life.
I am as rich as a cream-covered Croesus who has just burgled King Midas. But I do not use my money for good purposes.
Such as buying crumpets and cakes and custard tarts.
No, Harry, not cake paste. We live a rich life of riches, yet the poor live a poor life of poornesses. They lack hope, wallow in filth, and probably eat rat droppings. Join me, dear wife Ripley, sister Pippa, and best friend Harry, and make poverty a thing of the past, like old books and the Tudor monarchs.
Dear husband, it's only the poor. And does the Bible not say, help not the poor, for it only encourages them, and they also smell odd.
Well, I think it is a splendid idea, dear brother, for I love charity.
Then, dear sister, you shall set up the Bin Family Charity, or BinFam for short.
Oh, joy! The moral afterglow and ethical smugness I shall experience.
Harry, what do you think?
I think a dog in a frock is less likely to gain admission to a theatre than a chicken in a dinner jacket.
And about defeating poverty?
Oh, is that what you were talking about? Sorry, I thought you were ranting about omelettes again.
Oh, no, the sewage wave warning. And this one will be bad, for the current...